Our Bible study today takes us to the closing portion of Matthew chapter 25. We're going to read and study now from verse 31 to the end of the chapter, Matthew chapter 25. Let me read these verses. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me in. Naked, and ye clothed Me. I was sick, and ye visited Me. I was in prison, and ye came unto Me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these My brethren, ye have done it unto Me. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave Me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me not in. Naked, and ye clothed Me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited Me not. Then shall they also answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall He answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to Me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Thus we finish the chapter 25. We trust God will bless the reading of that portion to every listener today. Now try and catch up the thread of thought. Right from the end of chapter 23, and through chapters 24 and 25, the Lord has been giving prophecies concerning the kingdom, giving information regarding the end time leading up to the end point, the culmination of the age. But in chapter 25, in the first 13 verses, we studied the parable of the virgins. Now you will remember the main lesson from that particular section was this: be prepared. There was a test given as to those that had reality and those that only had an empty profession, which seemed to suggest that no matter in what era of time our lot is cast, we ought to make sure that we have the real, genuine article, that we are right with God, and not simply moving on with an empty profession. For remember, the end is coming. The day of testing will soon be upon us. The second section was from verses 14 through verse 30. It was the parable of the Lord and the servants. each servant was given his talents according to his ability, the Lord or the Master knowing exactly the ability of each one. And remember, the Lord didn't ask any more, that is, he didn't expect any more than the servant had the ability to produce. Yet, the testing time came, and two of the servants received the well done from the Master. He called them good and faithful servants. Now, one had more ability than the other, but according to their ability and according to the talents they received, they did their work to the satisfaction of the Master, and both of them received the credit when he said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." But there was a distinction made between the two that traded and the one that trifled. And when he came to face his master, he was condemned. But now, we come to this closing section of this chapter, and it's the closing section of the great part of this epistle that deals with the end of the age. Here we have the power and glory of the King in judgment, verses 31 through 46. First of all, I want you to note the discerning power of the Shepherd King. Then we'll notice the deeds of the people that are judged by the King. And then the destiny is eternally fixed for both groups. Now, it is good for us to remember that the judgment that is presented to us here at the end of chapter 25 is not the judgment that is set before us in the book of the Revelation when you come to the great white throne judgment. That is a different judgment altogether. You read nothing here about resurrection. The persons who are judged here are the living nations. There's no record here of books being opened, like what you have at the great white throne judgment. Now I think it's good for us just to clear our minds with regards to these matters. For example, there are some people who have only thought that there will come what they call the great day of God's judgment. They seem to have a false idea. They don't know how it will happen, but they are convinced that someday God will wind up the whole affair. They don't know how, they don't know why, but they just say, yes, it was God that started this old world, and it's God that will bring it to an end. And when he comes to the end, then we'll be set up before him in judgment, and God will pass the verdict, and we'll know then who's right and who's wrong. Now, I've heard people say that, and I have challenged them, because that is not according to the Word of God. You could rest assured right now that you're right with God. You could know with absolute assurance that you're saved, and you could be just as sure of God's heaven now as if you were there already. The Bible makes it perfectly clear. There is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus. But when you come to read the Word of God, you will find there are different judgments. For example, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, he bore the judgment then that was due the guilty sinner. He died. When the sword of justice and judgment was drawn out against him, he took the guilty sinner's place. Not only so, there are some people who bear a measure of judgment now. And then, of course, so far as the Christian is concerned, there is what is called the judgment seat of Christ, at which time the works of the Christian will be judged, to see whether they come under the category of wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. Some will stand the test, some will be burned up. Not the Christian, of course, but his works. It's his works that are tested at the judgment seat of Christ. But then here in Matthew chapter 25, it's set before us as the judgment of the living nations. And then when you come to Revelation, you'll find there the judgment of the great white throne, the last final assize of the universe. That is not what is being dealt with in Matthew 25. Here it is the judgment of the living nations at the time when the Lord Jesus Christ shall return to this earth. This is not at the time of the rapture when the church shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is the time when he shall come as the Son of Man. We have been pointing this out throughout chapter 24 and 25. It's when he comes as the Son of Man to set up his kingdom. The great Apostle Paul, while speaking at Athens to the learned Athenians, said, "Remember, God hath appointed a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." And that's perfectly true. That day is fixed. But what the writer here is recording concerning what the Lord said has to do with the judgment of the living nations. I want you to note, first of all, the discerning power of the Shepherd King. Here is the Son of Man as a king upon his throne, able to discriminate like a true shepherd between sheep and goats. I'm quite sure of this, that a great number of my listeners today have rejoiced in the fact that in the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is set before us as a shepherd. I think most Christians lay great stress on the 23rd Psalm. And how often do they quote it? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." They like that. Not only do they repeat it, but they learn how to sing it. And then they join that with what the Lord said himself in John chapter 10. There he's speaking of himself as being the good shepherd, the good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep. But remember, he's not only the good shepherd, he's also the great shepherd who rose again from the dead and is able to lead his sheep and go before them. But we're looking forward to the day when he shall come in character as the chief shepherd. Now here it seems then that the king has come and he is the true shepherd. Notice the title again is used, "when the Son of Man shall come in his glory." When the Lord comes for his church at the time of the rapture, it's like a bridegroom coming for a bride. It's the Lord coming for them that are his. But here he comes as the Son of Man, that title again reminding us of his power. I wonder how often have you used these words in prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Well, his kingdom cannot come in reality until the king is present. And when the king comes, he'll come as a shepherd king. Now notice what it says when he comes at that time, that the holy angels are coming with him. When you come to Revelation chapter 19, you'll find he's coming out as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the armies of heaven are with him. That's at this time. These scriptures correspond. "Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." At the present time, you know, the Christians are exhorted to come boldly or come with confidence to the throne of grace, here to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But when the Lord comes in all his power and glory, He shall sit upon the throne of his glory with all authority. But now, there will be gathered before him all nations, the living nations. I have pointed out that during the time of the great tribulation, there will be many, many people killed on this earth. The population of the world will be greatly reduced. I reminded you that under one of the opening of the seals, there would be a quarter of the world's population destroyed. And then later on, under the sounding of one of the trumpets, a third of the population, which reduces the population of the world to half. Prior to that, the Christians have been translated. And then there are those who will die in the final battle of Armageddon. And it's after that that here the Lord comes and sits upon the throne of his glory, and all nations are gathered before him. And notice what it says now. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Now, some folk may think that that is an easy matter. In some countries, if you see sheep and you see goats, you can tell the difference by looking at them. But you know, in the Middle East, it's not so easy. Sometimes you'll see the goats mixed in with the sheep. But the shepherd knows them, and it's easy for him. He has ways and means whereby he can put the sheep on one side and the goats on the other. The shepherd has this discerning ability. He knows how to discriminate between sheep and goats. Now, while they may look alike, and in some respects they may feed alike, the fact of the matter is there is a difference between a sheep and a goat. And when the Lord comes, he's going to judge the living nation. Now, the standard for judgment here are not things written in the books, such as you get at the Great White Throne Judgment. But here, it's the deeds of the people that are judged by the king. And notice, his verdict is determined by their attitude to the king's brethren. Now, someone may ask, well, who are these? For he says, as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And someone may say, well, how do we know who are the king's brethren? Well, if you have been a listener to this broadcast over the many weeks that we've been going through the Gospel according to Matthew, you may remember that when we came to the end of chapter 12, I pointed out there that literally that was the end of his public ministry. And here is what he said at the end of chapter 12. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. And here is the key to the understanding of it. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Note that. The principle set before us, whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now when you come to chapter 25, he said, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. That is, those who have been doing the will of his Father. Now then, the judgment is based on their attitude then to the king's brethren. There are those who treated them well and showed fellowship with them, in the sense that they fed them when they were hungry and gave them drink when they were thirsty, treated them as strangers, took them in, gave them clothes to wear when they were naked. When they were in prison, they went to see them. When they were sick, they visited them. And he said, if you did it to them, you did it unto me. But now, as a result of that, he said, I want you to come and enter into the kingdom that was prepared for you, even from the foundation of the world. Now, there are some things in the Word of God that tell us that there were things prepared before the foundation of the world. But here are some things that are prepared from the foundation of the world. And that kingdom has been prepared. And now they're being called upon to enter into the kingdom. Remember, they're not being asked to enter into heaven. It's the kingdom that's to be set up on earth, in spite of what some men have tried to argue, in spite of what some teachers have said about no kingdom and no millennial reign. My friend, the Bible makes it perfectly clear, the Lord shall reign in righteousness for 1,000 years. And so here he's going to set up his kingdom, and there are those who will enter into that kingdom reign when the Lord shall reign in righteousness. But there are others that are brought to this judgment of the living nations, and the very opposite is said about them. They didn't treat his brethren correctly. They treated them in an evil way. They wouldn't give them food to eat. They wouldn't give them anything to drink. They wouldn't take them in when they were strangers. They'd give them nothing to wear and so on. Now then, they'll say, but Lord, when did we do this? He said again, simply this. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. Opportunity was there. But they wouldn't treat these people correctly. My friend, this comes home to all our hearts. Again, I say, no matter when we live, in what era of time, God takes note of how we treat his people. But then, it's the closing verse of the chapter that seems to sum up the whole situation. Here now, the destiny is eternally fixed for both groups. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. What a contrast. There's no need to argue about it. The Bible distinctly states there are two conditions. There is the condition of punishment, and there's the opposite condition of life eternal. And so there's one group who are rushing on towards everlasting punishment. There's the other group that shall enter into life eternal. Notice the one group are called blessed. Come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. They enter into life eternal, while the other group are cursed, and they go away into everlasting punishment. Now, this is not popular today. People don't like to think of these things. Some people like to imagine that God is so gracious that when the time comes, he'll just take them all in and forgive all the past, and no matter how they lived, no matter the sins they committed, no matter how they treated others, that God will just let them in some way or another and that everybody will be all right. No, my friend, that is not according to the Word of God. Our God is just. And in his righteousness, in his justness, he will judge sin. And he will judge the sinner. And he will judge the sinful nations. And here in Matthew 25, we come to the very end of the age. And there will be the judgment of the living nations according to how they treated the remnant of his people during the time of that great tribulation. There are those that will go into eternal life and those that will go to the place of eternal punishment. What about you, my friend? Are you ready? Are you prepared for the coming of the King and the end time? We've been seeking now in these past messages to study Matthew 24 and 25. We trust you've been helped. We trust that many who have listened will be ready for the coming of the Lord.